Thank God for child ministry, amen.
Amen.
Such a blessing to have them in here with us. Pastor Mike's going to bring the word this morning, so I encourage you to let him know you appreciate him as he comes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. Let's give him the glory and the praise. Amen. I appreciate your hand clap, but I never want to rob the glory of the Lord. Amen. I'm just a person. And sometimes barely that. But no, God is good, and he deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Amen. Let's bow our head and let's just thank the Father for the word. Father, we thank you for this time, for this moment, for this day. Lord, we've entered into your presence in worship, and you've softened our heart, as the prophetic word has said. So, Lord, as our hearts are softened, let the word of the Lord enter into soft, pliable ground, so that it may be able to produce a harvest that is a hundredfold and that produces souls for the kingdom and glory to Jesus and honor to the Father. Do your perfect work in us. Let your word go forth and let it not return back void. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask a couple of questions. How many in this room are in a struggle?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the room. Good. Then I can preach this message. And sorry, we could have gotten out here early if you wouldn't have raised your hand. Amen. I know, right? How many have been crying out for a breakthrough?
Amen.
Right? You're about to break down, but God wants to give you a breakthrough.
Yes, yes, thank you, Father.
Amen. So I'm talking to the right people today.
Amen.
How many are resting in the Lord for the victory that is coming?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, everything can be going on crazy around you, but you've got a peace. You've got a calm. You've got a strength that is not of yourself. Because if you left your own devices, you'd fall apart. Okay? The trial or the struggle is so overwhelming that it renders you weakless. Or renders you weak. But you're finding yourself, there's a peace, there's a strength. And you're sensing that the battle has changed even though nothing has changed. You feel a peace, a calm, a joy. You got the song of the Lord, even though everything around you is absolutely going bonkers. That's having the victory before you even see the victory. That's having victory. That's walking in victory. You're not overcome by your struggle. You're not overcome by the... You're not overcome by the struggle. You're not overcome by the things that are going on in your life. But there's a strength in you. You feel like God is, you're like Peter. You're as if Peter, you're walking on the water, even though the storm is still raging. That's walking in victory. And so I want to let you know today, if you're in a struggle, if you're praying for a breakthrough, God's with you. As we celebrate the Passion Week before us, let us remember that he has brought us the victory.
Yes. Yes.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
He broke the power of sin over our life. He broke the power of hell over our life. He broke the power of the grave over our life. He's freed us from the wrath of God. We're walking. There's victory for us. You know, I like Christmas and the festivity and, oh, we celebrate baby Jesus and, oh, it's so nice and nice. But I tell you, there's no victory in that. I like Easter because there's the victory. There's the victory. The cradle was the hope of salvation. The cross is the evidence of salvation. And God has brought us the victory through Jesus Christ, his Son. So we celebrate this Passion Week that even though we may feel defeated, we actually have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? We all want victory over what afflicts us at the moment. But I want to let you know something. Without a struggle, there's no victory. If you're in a battle, how can you have a victory if you're not in a battle? It's like putting on the boxing gloves and getting in the ring and there's no one in the ring and you declare yourself the winner. You got to get hit. You got to get in the fight. You got to get knocked down. You got to get your bell rung. But you still got to stay in the fight. You could be like Costello. Or you could be like, I don't know, I show my age, Muhammad Ali. You know, you got to know how to fight. You know, and you got to know how to take a hit. But you also got to know how to go to the cross and find your strength in him and not in and of yourself. And so without a struggle, there's no victory. I want to let you know today, don't be ashamed of your struggle. I'm struggling with addiction, whatever it is. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. I'm struggling with anxiety. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. I'm struggling with unforgiveness. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling in my relationship. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And I look all around and it seems like everybody's got it together but me. I want to let you know something. None of us got it together. Even the preacher. I'm probably more of a mess than you are. But I want to let you know something. Don't be ashamed of your struggle, because if you're ashamed of your struggle, you're already defeated. See, when you're in a struggle and you end up being ashamed of your struggle, you miss the power of the cross and you end up withdrawing from the grace and the relationship that the Lord wants to have with you, and you end up defeated. So God wants to say to you this morning, don't be ashamed of your struggle, because I want to relate to you in your struggle. How are you going to find victory in your struggle if you're struggling alone? And so he wants to say to you, don't be ashamed of your struggle. I struggle with fear, but everybody else seems to have confidence. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. Struggle with depression. Everybody else seems to be happy. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. Struggling with pornography. And I'm so ashamed. I don't know what to do. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. Struggling with alcoholism. And I come here and I put on a nice shirt and everything. But I can go home and in a minute I find myself drawn to the bottle. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. Here's the thing that I'm saying to you. Because shame is a tool of the enemy to keep you from the cross. So whatever your struggle is, you may be struggling financially. You may be struggling relationally. You may have brokenness all around you. I want to say to you, don't be ashamed of your struggle. Rejoice that he is with you in the fight. See, in Joshua 1:9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So wherever you're at, he's there with you. Whatever you're struggling with, he's there with you. He wants to relate to you in whatever it is that you're struggling with, so that he can break the power of the enemy and lead you out in victory. No matter what your battle, no matter what battle you are facing at the moment, it's not your battle, it's His. I want to say that again. You feel like you're all alone. Things are going off here, things are going off there. Bad news here, bad news there. Started out bad, now it got worse. It started out worse, now it got worser. And it went from worser, now it's worsest. Do you understand what I'm saying? You had a bad situation going into it, and now it's like 10 times worse. I want to let you know something. It's not your battle. It's His. It's His. You're not alone in the fight. Psalms 24, verse 8 says this. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the Lord Almighty. If you will, turn with me, excuse me, to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading about the triumphal entry. And while you're turning, I'm drinking. No, for Pastor Ricky, you're supposed to clap for me. You're supposed to get up and do the hokey pokey. I'm going to drink again, see who gets up and does the hokey pokey. Anyway, let's read and let's see what the Lord is saying through the scripture this morning. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of called Olivet, he called two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent away found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the rocks will cry out." Amen. A few weeks ago, I did the communion, and I alluded to the donkey. And after I had done that and we had communion, the word wouldn't leave me. It just kept coming, going around and around and around and around. And I was like, "I got a word, I got a word, I got a word." But here's the thing. I waited. And last week, Pastor calls and said, "Hey, you want to preach?" And I was like, "I'm so glad you called." "Yes." I said, here I am, and here we go. But there are some lessons to learn from the triumphal entry, and I want to share these with you. Lesson number one, if you're taking notes, is the Lord sees your situation. So he said, "You're going to go into the town ahead of you, and there you're going to find a colt tied." I have two questions for you. Where are you tied up? And where are you bound? What's got you tied up? Are you tied to an addiction? Are you tied to a bad relationship? Are you tied to a bad habit? Are you tied to your past? Are you tied to things, childhood trauma? Are you tied to whatever it is? What's got you tied up? Where are you bound? Every once in a while, just because you haven't been involved in your whatever habit, you feel free, and then a couple of days later, bang, you fall, and you realize I'm still bound. Where are you tied up, and where are you bound? Whatever it is in your life that you're tied to, whatever it is that you're bound to, first and foremost, I'm going to say it again, don't be ashamed of your struggle. But wherever you find yourself tied, wherever you find yourself bound, I want to let you know, God wants to untie you. I love those YouTube videos that show you how to break free from zip ties or duct tape. You know, the guy goes free. Then I try it, and I'm like, help! And then somebody says, why are you on duct tape? I saw a YouTube video. And you can break out. But it must be disinformation, because I can't break out. Duct tape and zip ties are nothing compared to a spiritual tie to something that has got you bound. There isn't a YouTube video in the world that can tell you how to get out of it. When something in your life has you tied, or you are bound in your spirit through a habit or childhood trauma, only the Lord sees and has a plan on how to untie you. See, I want to let you know something. The Lord sees your situation. He knows what you're tied to. He knows where you're bound. He sees you. He's not ashamed of you. He has compassion on you. You're weeping, you're crying, you're ashamed, you're hiding. And he's calling out to you and he's saying, don't be ashamed. The blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sins. Come to the cross, come to the cross, come to the cross. Let me untie you. And you feel just because you're tied up or bound that you're defeated. For the moment, yes. But that doesn't dictate your life. God sees your situation. He sees where you're struggling. He sees that you're tied up. And he sees and he's speaking to your situation. Even this very moment. Even this very moment. You think that the Lord sees and he's ashamed. You feel that he has, these people are good people, but I'm not a good person. So God loves the good people, but the ones that fail and struggle and sin, well, he doesn't love them. The Lord has unconditional love for everyone. There's no favoritism with God. There is no trophy best in class. We're all in this together. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all in need of salvation. We're all in need of cleansing. We're all in need of mercy. We're all in need of forgiveness. There's no hierarchy in Full Gospel Center. So where you're bound, where you're tied up, God sees your situation. And so he has a plan. And the first plan is, of course, that he wants to relate to you where you're tied up. He wants to relate to you where you're bound. He wants you to be able to come to him and understand, if you believe in faith, the blood of Jesus cleanses of all sin, okay, now start talking to him about where you're bound. Now start confessing. Now start asking for help. Now start lifting your tied up hands, your tied up spirit, and come to the cross and saying, Jesus, set me free. Jesus, break the bonds over my life, Lord Jesus. Set the captives free. Because just like me with the duct tape, and I couldn't set myself free, guess what? You can't set yourself free either. Some of you being tied up is not your fault. Because it's what you've grown up in. It's the trauma, it's the pain, it's the rejection, it's the abuse, it's the negative words, whatever it is. You find your soul tied to something and you feel unloved, unwanted, unaccepted. And so you feel you can't relate to the Father because of things like that. And so you're all tied up. God wants to untie you so that he can have a deeper relationship with you. And he can unwind those ties that bind you and set you free from your past. You may say, well, you know, let me tell you something. I'm going to relate to you in this thing here. Sometimes it's really hard to look back because it hurts a lot. And I've said to the Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. It's too much. It hurts too much. You want to know what the Lord said to me? Go there and guess what? I'm with you. I'm not asking you to go back alone. I'm going there with you. We've got some work to do. I've got to untie you. I've got to set you free. I want to have a deeper relationship with you, but you're tied up in your past. You've been so rejected growing up that you think Jesus rejects you. You think God rejects you. You think you're rejected. You're accepted in the beloved. And so you're tied. And so you need to be untied. And were you bound because of habitual sin and you feel the shame and the guilt of it? I want to let you know, God says, don't be ashamed of your struggle. He loves you with an unconditional love. The blood of Jesus cleanses of all sin. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of Jesus carrying the cross. That's the power of the beating that he received. What does it say in Hebrews? He's seeing the cross. He despised the shame, seeing what was on the other side. And so because of that, he wants to say to you, don't be ashamed of your struggle. I'm with you in it. And I love you through it. I love you where you are right now. I have compassion for you. I know you're hurting. I know more what got you bound than you know your own self. I know the moment in your young life when you broke. You don't know it, but I do. I know where you broke. And I come to heal you, to untie you, to set you free. Don't be ashamed of your struggle. Don't be ashamed of the ties that bind you. Don't be ashamed of where you're bound. Use it as a place of relationship to the Lord so that you can find the freedom and the hope and the salvation and the grace and the mercy and the power to overcome. Shame is a tool that the enemy uses to keep you from the cross. When something in your life has you tied or bound in your spirit, only the Lord can untie you. I want you to know the Lord has taken notice of your situation. Amen? Amen. Let's go on to number two. Lesson number two. Only who the Lord sends to you has the word and the authority to untie you. He sent two of his disciples to untie the donkey. Okay? The word of the Lord was, go into the next town. When you get there, you're going to find a colt, untie it, and bring it to me. If somebody gives you a hassle, just tell them the Lord needs it. They go there. There's the donkey. It's tied up. They untie it. Somebody says to them, hey, yo, what are you doing? I think the donkey was in the Bronx. So he said, I'm tying a donkey. What do you look like I'm doing? Those are Brooklyn guys. So he said, why are you untying the donkey? All kidding aside, because the Lord needs it. Only those whom the Lord sends with the word of the Lord and the authority of the Lord have what it takes to untie you. I want to say something to you. Stop looking at the world to untie you. Oh, well, this person has a degree. This person went to this school. This person wrote this book. This person has that podcast. This person has that YouTube video. This person has this. This person has that. They have this TV show. All these ladies, they gather around a table and they... They're so wise. If that's your point of view, you got the wrong view. Because that stuff is spew. But what I'm saying to you, stop looking to the world to fix your problem. God has someone to help untie you. God has someone that is anointed, has the word of the Lord, that will help untie you. Here's the thing. How many can say we've acted a donkey in our lives somewhere along the line, right? We've been donkeys. Right? Because I'm behind the pulpit, I got to use that word, okay? Somewhere along the line was like, you know, I acted a little bit like a donkey. And now I'm tied up like a donkey. You get what I'm saying? We've all done something in our lives that tied us up. Maybe you've used your credit card too much. Oh, Pastor Mike, don't go there. There's a sale today. But you're bound up financially. You say to yourself, I tithe, but I don't have enough money. I give to missions or I give to something, but after I get paid and I pay everything, I don't have enough money. So now you're bound. And you need somebody to teach you how to handle money. That's another place that you can be ashamed in, because it's a place of weakness. I don't know how to handle money. Okay. What do you think? Everybody in here is a financial whiz genius? Some of us are donkeys when it comes to how we spend our money. Amen. I mean, real. Amen. You know, we are on our phone. Ooh, we don't need it, but we, ooh, it's on sale. Ooh, Tebow. Ooh, you know, and we buy these things, and then comes the end of the month, or it comes to your paycheck, and you pay what you got to pay, and then there's you come to the Lord empty-handed. And you say, oh, well, the church wants my money? No, we don't want your money. Amen. We want you blessed. Yes. We want you set free. Yes. We want you prosperous. Yes. Whether you give to the church or don't give to the church, the church is going to survive just fine. Yes. Because he provides all of our needs. Yes. We've been ministering together for a long time. I don't have enough toes or fingers to count right now. Come on. We have never, ever, ever, ever preached the prosperity gospel. Ever. We don't like it. Amen. We don't like it. But we want to see you prosper. What I'm just saying to you is this thing. Somewhere along the line, Jesus saw your situation, and he's already getting somebody prepared to be able to speak to your situation and help untie you. You know, or you may have gone through something in your life and it was rough, it was hard, it was tough, it broke you. But in that time, you stayed close to the Lord. Or when you went through it, you developed your relationship back to the Lord. And you developed a deeper relationship with the Lord, a deeper adoration for the Lord. Then the Lord brought you through it. And now he wants to use you to untie somebody else. See, the thing is you know, you may say, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be used. Lord, use me to touch somebody's life. Lord, use me, use me. So God sends you to somebody, and he's going to use you. And so you go to this person. You find out they're really in a mess, and you're going to help them clean up their mess. And so you give them your phone number, and they end up calling you all times, all day long, all hours, this and that, and you're getting exhausted. Good. You asked to be used, and now you're being used, and now you feel used. You asked for it, you got it. But here's the thing. Why be so selfish with the victories that God has given you, and you don't use it? If God has set you free, set somebody else free. If God has delivered you, deliver somebody else. If God has blessed you, bless somebody else. Stop being selfish. Stop thinking that he's got to do all the work. It's pastor. Pastor's got to do it. No, if pastor does it and does all the work, you know what that's called? A cult. Pastor's job is to equip you so you do the work. That's what the Bible says. You got some donkeys on the outside saying, the full gospel center is a cult. They do this, they do that. They speak in tongues, they prophesy, they do this, they do that. Let me tell you something. We do what the Spirit of the Lord moves us to do. That's what we do. But I want to say to you this. Where you're free, your responsibility now is to pray and ask the Lord, who needs the freedom that I have so that I can set somebody else free? Will it take time? Yes. Will it get frustrating? Yes. Will they listen? It's the truth. People come for counseling. You counsel them. You tell them what to do, and they do exactly the opposite.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. That was a huge waste of time. But here's the thing. It's going to take time. People are going to fail because they're used to the habit that they're in. It's going to take you having grace, having patience, having mercy. Because guess what? When you were in the situation, were you nice? Were you obedient? Were you not a knucklehead? Did it take you time to get out of your situation? The grace and the patience that the Lord gave you, give to others. You have what it takes to help untie somebody else. You have what it takes. You're the disciple that the Lord sent to untie the donkey. You're the disciple that he gave the word to. You're the disciple that he gave the mission to. You're the disciple that he gave that word to, that when he untied it, even though there was opposition, he did what the Lord had asked. You're that person. You're that disciple. You have the authority. You have the word of the Lord. And you can say, well, I'm just too. I'm just a custodian that cleans toilets Monday through Friday. I'm just me. Trust me. You're not, Pastor Mike, because I'm glad for that, because guess what? I'm like, ugh. I don't look at myself and say I'm somebody special. I'm not. I love the Lord. He loves me. He called me out of a street corner. He untied me. He sent me to a program. He sent me to Bible school. We hooked up. We're here. It's a simple plan. So I want to say to you, you have what it takes to untie somebody else. And if you say, well, I'm nobody special, well, the word of the Lord says different. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by shall any means hurt you. I want you to say this with me. I have authority. Say it like you mean it. I have authority. That's right. You have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have authority. You could tell the devil to get away from your children. You have authority. And tell the devil where you're bound. Devil, I'm going to get untied. I have authority. And I'm praying for somebody with authority to come and help me get untied. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Father.
You say I'm nobody special. You are. You're a child of the King. You're somebody special. The blood of Jesus cleansed you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have authority. Go untie somebody else. Don't hide your authority. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm nobody special. None of us are. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all covered in the blood of Jesus. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's time that we step out in faith and we ask God to use us to help untie somebody else. Stop looking to the world. Stop thinking that the world's more superior, got it more together than we do. It's a lie. The lighthouse versus the carrier. Plowing through at night, through rough, foggy seas, a battleship radar suddenly indicates an object directly in its path. The ship's captain sends a radio signal. We are on a collision course. Advise you to change course 10 degrees north. A response cackles over the radio. Negative. We advise you to change your course 10 degrees south. The captain is furious. He blurts another command. This is a battleship. Change course immediately. Back comes a calm reply. This is a lighthouse. The battleship changed course. I want to let you know something. You're the lighthouse. The battleship is the world. Trying to tell you to change course. No, you don't need to change course. You're on the right course. You're doing the right thing. You're under the anointing. You're under the grace of God. You're under the mercy of God. You're under the love of God. You have light inside you to guide someone else's life. So stop looking to the world to untie you. The Lord knows who to send your way to untie you. Lesson number 3, you have value. As it says in verse 34, when they asked the question, why are you untying it? It was a very simple response, but it was truth because the Lord said it. Because the Lord needs it. I want to let you know something. The Lord needs you. You're like, wait a minute, the Lord needs me? Yeah, the Lord needs you. Why would the Lord need me? Because he said this one thing. He said, I'm going to the Father. And because I'm going to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he said to him, greater things will you do than I've done. So he needs you. He wants to set you free. Or where you're free, he wants to use you to set others free. You have value. But I'm tied up. You have value. I'm bound. You still have value because the Lord has taken notice of your situation. And he's sending someone to untie you. You have value. When you're untied and you're free and you let this thing go, you have greater value now because now you have a testimony and now you can say, look what the Lord has done. And all of a sudden you say, God starts to use you in ways he couldn't use you when you were bound. Now that he set you free, you're out there and you're telling what Jesus has done. You're letting them know you've got a testimony. You're telling people. You're giving hope. You're talking to other people that were bound. And you're starting to untie people where you were untied. You have value as well. Your value to the Lord is based on your imperfections, not your perfections. Okay? You think, well, I got it together in this area, so God wants to use me, but I'm a little weak in this area. That's where God's going to use you. Where you're weak, God wants to use you so that he can display his strength through you. You think, well, I gotta get this together so God can use me. Stop trying to get it together so God can use you. Let God just use you in your untogetherness. And stop waiting to get it all together before think God can use you. God wants to use you now. But I haven't gotten it all together. Who does? Who does? And so God wants to use you in your imperfections, not your perfections. Your wounds are weapons the Lord uses against the enemy. See, you think the devil wants to exploit your wounds, which he will if you let him. But God can use where you're wounded as a weapon for you against the enemy. Your wounds are a weapon the Lord uses against Satan. Your brokenness brings forth his light. Yes, yes. The judge Gideon only had to announce, break the vessel so that the light can shine. My God. See where you're broken? Yes. The light of the Lord can shine through. Yes. Stop trying to have it all together. Yes. He uses broken vessels. Yes. He uses broken vessels. Yes. Because it's in the broken vessel that the light of the Lord shines through. So in your brokenness, he brings forth his light. Your battle scars are testament to the victories the Lord has won through you. Some of us have been through some tough times, but we've come out of it, and we may have been battle scarred, we may have been beaten, we may have been battered, may be bruised, but we've come out of the battle stronger, wiser, more compassionate, with more empathy, with a deeper relationship with the Lord, with a deeper place of worship, with more humility. Because the unbroken are arrogant. The unbroken are proud. The unbroken are rude. The unbroken are selfish. But the broken, the broken knows what it is to hurt. Thank you, Father. The broken knows what it is to lose things. Thank you, Father. The broken know what it is to suffer loss. Yes, Father. And yet they cling to the cross tighter than they ever have before. Amen. And they say, as even the prophet Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They'd rather hold on to the cross than hold on to things. And they'd rather be broken and receive the compassion of the Lord in their brokenness. And that when the Lord puts them together, they understand and have compassion for other people. Amen? And they have the desire to see others set free where they were bound. So your brokenness, and your battle scars are a testament to the victories the Lord has won through you. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to the disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Any sinners in the place today? Amen. Amen. You're the people that he called. He didn't come to call the healthy. I come to call the sick. I didn't come to call the righteous. I come to call the sinners. I didn't come to call those that got it all together. I come to call the broken. Why? So that the glory of the Lord can be made manifest in you. Your value comes from the Lord and who he made you to be and what he has allowed you to go through. You may be going through something right now and you're like, why am I going through this? You're going through it because the Lord is allowing you to go through it so that he can teach you more of who he is, so that he can humble you, break you, build you back up, and use you as a vessel for his glory. That's why you're going through it. If he didn't want you to go through it, you wouldn't be going through it. But because you're going through it, he's allowing you to go through it, and he's with you in it, and you're going to go through it, and you're going to come out on the other end with a testimony of his great mercies. All right, let's bring this in for a landing. When the disciples brought the donkey back to Jesus, there's a lesson there. And what's the lesson? The lesson is that sometimes you need to let others bring you to Jesus. Some of you are all tied up. You haven't prayed in such a long time. Because you feel ashamed, you feel guilty, you feel you're bound. You don't know how to relate to the Lord in the places where you're bound. And so you got to be real with someone. Say, I haven't prayed in so long. I've been struggling with this thing for so long. I just can't find the strength to pray. You got to let others sometimes bring you to Jesus. Don't try to do it on your own. If you've been left prayerless, let somebody else pray for you. Let them know what's going on in your life. If you can't pray, tell somebody else so they can pray, so that eventually you can find the strength to pray. Let others bring you to Jesus. You don't have to do it all yourself. Let the presence of the Lord settle on you. They put Jesus on the donkey. I want to say to you, let his presence dwell on you. Because I want to let you know something. This is how it's going to end. Unless the Lord settles on you, there is no triumph. Unless the Lord settles on you, he knows the road to take to bring you to victory. He knows the road to take. You don't. The donkey didn't know where it was going. Jesus led it down the road. You don't know how to get out of the place. You don't know the road to take. Jesus does. Let him settle on you. Let his presence permeate you. Let his presence surround you so that he can guide you and lead you out into victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that you called us to come to you in our brokenness, to come to you where we're tied up. And Father, I pray that we'd be humble enough and our hearts would be tender enough to get real with you, Lord God. I pray that not one person here under this anointing would stay another day tied up when you are wanting to untie us. So Father, we humble ourselves before you. Oh, we ask for your mercy and your grace. Take the shame away, God. That we would understand that it's for just this reason that you came and you died and you embraced the cross and you allowed yourself to become the sacrifice for us, not so we could stay in bondage, but so that we could be free, that we wouldn't squander the accomplishments of Calvary, but we'd allow them to be applied to our own situations, Lord. Father, do a work in our lives, Lord God, and restore relationship. I pray for every person, Lord, that is stuck and ashamed and pretending it's all okay, Lord, that we would walk into the light today and find freedom. Pray all this in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen.